2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. Second Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man at the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending you my servant, Naaman, to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me?" For Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes. He sent him this message, "Why have you torn your robes? Has a man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel?" So Naaman went from his horse, went with his horses and chariots, and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Parpar, rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you have not done it? How much more then, when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young man.
Thank you for our reading this morning, and thank you also for our special music. Let us pray. Most gracious and loving God, may your healing power and abiding presence be made known to your people this morning, and may the words that I share with them be found acceptable to you. Amen. Well, I hope that you all had an enjoyable and exciting July the 4th celebration. I remember celebrating the 4th of July as a child. It has always brought me a sense of excitement, something about that booming sound, something about the lighted skies with the fireworks display has always brought me excitement as a child, as it continues to do so today. However, my dogs, on the other hand, would not agree with that, as they would completely go wild. This 4th of July for me, however, I didn't get to enjoy the lighted skies or the booming sounds because I was busy packing. I was busy packing something that's not fun and exciting, but something that was necessary. So the joy for me, actually, to share with you is that I found a place here in Weatherford, and moving day is tomorrow. So thanks to my family, They didn't know that they would be helping me move, but thank you guys. Today we wrap up a series from the prophets Elijah and Elijah from the book of Kings. And today we hear about the story of Naaman, as Tommy has read to y'all, the great commander with power and prestige, but carried with him a disease that was called leprosy. Leprosy that could only be healed by God. The context of the story takes place after a war between Israel and Aram. Aram is ancient Syria, in which Aram had declared victory over Israel. And scripture tells us that they had even taken captive of a young girl from Israel as a servant to Naaman's wife. Naaman had been this great commander for the people of Aram. The Bible is filled with so many great stories about so many great people, such as Naaman. People like Noah, people like Moses, there's King David, there's Paul in the New Testament, and there's Mary, and there are so many others. But Naaman was a great commander. And the book of Kings, the second book of Kings, gives us the story of this great commander. But the only problem with this great commander is that he carried with him the disease of leprosy. His king and his nation looked upon him as a hero. But a hero in the eyes of the world does not exempt you from human failure. Being great in the eyes of the world does not always mean that we are great in the eyes of God. Being considered greatness is not measured by our accomplishments, but in our commitment and service to God. The world can call us great and can make us into a hero, but if we don't know God, if we do not have that relationship with God, then the greatness may not amount to much at the end. So we are told that Naaman was a powerful military leader, honorable among his peers, and he was used to bring deliverance for his people. Notice the word used here, because God used Naaman to bring about deliverance for his people. He was a man of courage and valor, but he was a leper. Leprosy, as used in the Bible, as you may be already familiar with, was not only a symbol of sin, but also a dreadful skin disease. In those days, there was no cure. And once you contracted the disease, it was more or less a sentence of death. It was a terrible disease causing the rotting of the body and eating away of the flesh. Hideous disfigurement would be the result. And often the lepers would die alone, but no one dared to touch them. The disease was considered contagious and ritually impure. They were untouchable. There were no hope for these lepers. But here we find the servant girl, taken by force and as a prisoner of war, brings good news to her captors. She brings hope to her abductor, even though they had taken her captive, even though they meant her wickedness, even though their intentions were evil. God used this servant girl to bring good news to her enemies. She brought a chance of hope for him by informing him that there is a prophet from her old country with the power to heal. Keep in mind that Naaman was of another religion and did not know God. Anim was of another culture and did not practice Jewish traditions. Yet, this is how God works, as shown in the Bible. God not only blesses the people of Israel, but also saves those who are not. There's other stories like this throughout Scripture where God turned what people meant for evil into a blessing for them. There is the famous story of Joseph. As he was beaten up by his brothers, how he was thrown into a well, and how he was sold off to the Egyptians, only to be used by God as a blessing to his own family. Perhaps you have your own story to tell of how you have seen God use a bad situation to bless those very people. Perhaps you have your own story to tell of how God has used you. As the story continues, Naaman follows through from the recommendation of this servant girl, and after getting advice and a blessing from his king, goes out in search of this prophet, Elijah. He is desperate for healing. But when he found Elijah, imagine he was told, when he found Elijah, he was told to go dip himself into the Jordan River 7 times. Imagine what Naaman must have thought or must have been feeling at that moment. A long travel, only to be told by the prophet to go cleanse himself in the Jordan. Naaman, of course, refused because he thought of himself better than that. He thought so highly of himself that he could not bring himself to a level of understanding of why the Jordan River. The Jordan River was considered dirty and muddy. He complained that there were more beautiful rivers, that there were more clean rivers for him to go and cleanse himself in. He complained that he was someone of power and prestige and deserved better than that. He could not see himself dipping into the filthy river. Why does it have to be the Jordan River? And as he refused and turned away in rage, thinking that Elijah had just highly insulted him, not only by what he commanded him to do, but also because Elijah did not even come out of the house to meet him. Yet it was his servant that spoke to him in a voice of reason. It was his servant that spoke to him a voice of wisdom. It was his servant that convinced him that healing can come in form of simplicity and ordinary. Naaman's servant had to remind him of his disease, and that if he wanted to be cured, he ought to do what the prophet had suggested, as he had no other options. It was only here that Naaman submitted himself to something from below, when he humbled himself and did what Elijah had prescribed of him, to dip himself into the Jordan 7 times, that he was healed. Perhaps we have our own stories to tell of how we were blessed and healed when we submitted to something other than our own will, to something that we may have missed out on because we thought too highly of ourselves and thought too little of this other alternative. Perhaps we have stories to tell how we received a blessing from somewhere that we totally did not expect. Perhaps we have stories to tell of how we were expecting to be blessed one particular way, only to receive it from a completely unexpected source. Perhaps we have stories to tell of how God has worked miracle in our lives that is beyond our reasoning, that is beyond our human understanding. Maybe we have stories to tell of how God continues to heal and bless us each and every day, although we are undeserving. Maybe we have stories to tell like that of Naaman, who almost missed his blessing because pride got in his way. Perhaps you have stories like that of the captured girl who even though was taken captive, who was taken away from her homeland, who was taken as a prisoner of war, still brought good news to her enemies. Maybe you have stories like that of Naaman, who would have the courage to speak a voice of reason and wisdom to those in power, to those in authority, to those she had to deal with each day. Maybe you have an illness or disease like Naaman that only God can heal. But notice here in this story that God healed first, conversion came later. In other words, the story of Naaman is not a faith story, for he didn't have any faith. He didn't even know God. But it was through his persistence in finding a cure that allowed him to receive God's grace. It wasn't until Naaman humbled himself and was in submission that God healed him. Naaman expected a particular way of healing that was fit and large enough for his ego, only to find the opposite, only to find himself in humility. A couple of weeks ago, we heard how Elijah was told to go and stand on the mountaintop and waited for the Lord. And there a great wind came, a great earthquake came, a great fire came, but God was not in any of those things. It was through the unexpected, through the sheer silence, that God's voice emerged. The story here of Naaman is similar. He was expecting something big and spectacular to come about with his healing. He was expecting Elijah to come out at least and perform a miraculous healing for his disease. Instead, he was sent to the Jordan for healing. Have you ever been disappointed because of your high hopes? Because of your high expectations, only to be brought down to earth, only to be humbled? I bet you have, because we all have. Like Naaman, we sometimes don't want to get our hands dirty in doing the work of God. And like Naaman, we need to be reminded that we need the healing power of God. But thanks be to God if we have friends that can speak truth to us, that can remind us of what it is that we need. Indeed, we have to be reminded that there is no task too simple or too small, too dirty or too lowly to receive God's blessing and God's healing. When we have our hopes so high that we cannot deal with anything other, when our expectations are too grand, we tend to miss out on our blessings from below. From below or from the bottom is where some theologians, like Reinhold Niebuhr, would like to begin, because Niebuhr and others would argue that it is from the human experience and our human situation and condition that we begin to understand ourselves and we begin to understand who God is. And that by doing theology this way, it is not something only of the mind, but not only something that is intellectual and theoretical, but something also that is relevant to the human experience. It was also Niebuhr who said that sin is pride, following the teaching of Saint Augustine, but also that from the Old and New Testament. But keeping in mind that this is not the same as taking pride of when we do something good. It is good to be prideful when we do something good for others, when we do good works in the name of our Lord. But rather, it is when we take pride a bit too far, it gets problematic. When we only look for the higher and big stuff of life, thinking that's where our blessing will come from, that we forget that our blessing comes from the ordinary. It can come from doing the simple things in life, from simple people that can come to us in the humblest form. And none other can exemplify this than with our Lord Jesus Christ. If you remember, he did not come to us as a grand and mighty king, but he came to us as a peasant and lowly child, born in a manger surrounded by nature, not fit for a king. But indeed, our message of salvation comes from simplicity. Our message of salvation comes from the ordinary and lowly. It comes to us by doing the will of God. The message of salvation comes to us daily when we are willing to humble ourselves before our Lord, and we are willing to go ahead and dip ourselves into the Jordan River, even though we know we're going to get dirty, even though when our heart and when our faith are frail. Our message of salvation awaits us to cleanse and make us whole, as we will here in a little bit come together as the body of Christ to celebrate and to remember our Savior. Our message of salvation comes to us in the blood of our Savior to cleanse us of our flesh and our spirits of any illness, and it cleanses us of any impurity, of any sinful thoughts and behaviors, and to renew ourselves, to recommit our whole beings as individuals and as a congregation, so that together we can do the will of our Lord. So that together we can bring good news not only to the church, but also the community and the world. Amen.
Remembering that Christ invites all those to this table. This is not a table. table of the Methodist Church. This is not a table of Bethel United Methodist Church, but this is the table of the Lord, and all of you are invited to come forward. And if you are not able to receive the elements but would like to come forward for a blessing, please come forward with your arms crossed and receive a blessing. And if page 13 of your hymnal, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and spirit. On the night that he gave himself up to us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, drink from this. This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this often in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
The body of Christ broken for you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. And may those who are helping serve the elements please come forward.
like to join Bethel United Methodist Church this morning to please come forward.
Please stand as we turn to hymn 701, When We All Get to Heaven. Sing the first verse, please.
Singing more verses. For letting me worship with you today. As you go into the world, remember that you are God's best witness. So receive this blessing. Gracious and loving God, be with your people as they go out into the world. Bless them and guide them, protect them until we meet again. In your grace and your love, in Jesus' name, amen.
God be